ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो इन अवर लास्ट क्लास वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट the preface of the book and introduction in which Rupa Goswami is offering Mangalacharan, invoking the auspiciousness, and then he makes the content very clear, Vastu Nirdesh, what is the object of the book, and thirdly he offered blessings to those who read this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then immediately Srila Prabhupada, which we will discuss today, talks about the definition of pure devotional service. And before the definition of devotional service, Rupa Goswami explains this ocean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as the ocean is divided into four parts. So this ocean is divided into four parts: eastern side, southern side, west and north. And each side has subdivisions which are called as waves. And Prabhupada, either he divides each waves into different chapter. Like the sadhana bhakti is the second wave. But Prabhupada divides that one wave into 16 chapters. Otherwise, in the eastern side, go ahead, next. So the eastern side has three kinds of devotional service described. One is devotional service in practice, which is called as sadhana bhakti. Next is devotional service in ecstasy, which is called as bhava bhakti. And third is devotional service in love, which is called as prema bhakti. So Rupa Goswami in the eastern wave gives more importance. In fact, the 16th chapter Prabhupada gives for defining what is sadhana bhakti. And then two chapters he talks about bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti is nothing but just before the prema bhakti, which is called as sprouting of the prema bhakti, that is called as bhava bhakti. And ultimately the highest bhakti, which is called as love of God, is described by Rupa Goswami. Next. And in the southern side, Rupa Goswami elaborates on different mellows, different rasas. All these are called as astasatvik vikaras. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Ratayatra festival, he would regularly exhibit all these ecstatic symptoms. In fact, it was quite wonderful that simultaneously you would exhibit all the ecstatic symptoms at one time, which is quite difficult to ordinary people. Therefore, these ecstatic symptoms were manifested at one time, all the ecstatic symptoms, only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada, for those who want to study Bhakti Shastri, which our Radha Gopinath temple is going to start very soon, for the Bhakti Shastri exam, he recommended not to study this section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We only study 19th chapter of Nectar of Devotion of Srila Prabhupada. So this is not part of the study because it is very high. It's like a PhD subject matter. Next. And these are the primary rasas described in the western side of the ocean, which are the main rasas where a devotee has a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we discussed last week, Rupa Goswami, he took all the scriptures, including the Niti Shastras, like we read Nectar of Instructions, Utsahad, Nishchayad, Dhairyad, Tat Tat Karma Pravartanad. These are common sense instruction given to those who want to advance. And Rupa Goswami took them and he added the flavor of devotion. Similarly, all these rasas are described by one kavi called Bharat Muni. And he uses all these rasas to write dramas. And he exhibits the mundane side of the rasa. So Rupa Goswami has taken that and he has made it immortal by adding devotional concept to it. So therefore, these primary rasas are exhibited on the spiritual platform. Madhurya Ras, the relationship of Krishna with the gopis. Vastalya Ras, the relationship of Krishna with Nanda, Yashoda and other such inhabitants of Braj. And Sakhya Ras, even in the Sakhya Ras there are divisions. There are Sakhas, there are Priya Narma Sakhas, and beyond that there are the confidential Sakhas. Even amongst the friends of Krishna, there is a division. There are different kinds of friends. That is Sakhya Ras, friendship. And there is Dasya Ras, the servitorship. And then there is Shanta Ras, which is neutrality. And Prabhupada said for all these rasas, this service is the most important ingredient. Even in the Madhurya Ras, the service becomes the most important ingredient. That is the flavor for all these rasas. Krishna is being served by the devotees. And because Krishna is serving his devotees, in turn Krishna serves his devotees. That is the prime object of Bhakti Ras. Next. And then Rupa Goswami in the last part of the Nectar of Devotion, he discusses about the seven secondary rasas. And there are two more things which Rupa Goswami talks about, rasabhas, mixture of rasas. When there is a mixture of rasas in an incompatible way, that is against the Siddhanta. Therefore in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, whenever Lord Chaitanya had to hear some poem compiled by somebody, nobody could present the poems directly to Lord Chaitanya. It had to go through the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Because if there was any rasabhas in the poem, that would cause disturbance to the ecstasy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, when we offer prayers to the Lord, our prayers should not be compiled by ourselves. Prabhupada explained our prayer should be only offered based upon what the previous acharyas have offered. Just present as it is. Don't concoct. Because you may end up in creating a concoction which is displeasing to the Supreme Lord. Just like the prayers of Mayavadi is like a striking of a thunderbolt on the heart of the Lord. Why? Because there is a rasabhas. So similarly, any devotee aspiring transcendentalist should not try to compose his own poem. Yes, Prabhupada recommends that, but again it has to be sanctioned by the scriptures. So in the beginning stage, Prabhupada said, just learn the prayers offered by the great devotees like Mother Kunti, like Akrur, and other such great personalities. So even that is discussed by Rupa Goswami, what should not be spoken in front of the Lord, how rasabhas can cause contrary feelings in the heart of the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then immediately Rupa Goswami talks about the definition of pure devotional service. It is so precise, every word what Rupa Goswami uses. Every word has a deep meaning. And every word brings us very closer to the concept of what exactly is pure devotional service. Nothing is very much inclusive and nothing is very much exclusive. It is precise. Here Rupa Goswami begins with Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukullena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. And all our acharyas, Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Mukunda Das, Srila Prabhupada, and those who have studied this book, they have gone through every word so nicely, and as they have given us proper understanding of the definition of pure devotional service. So let us see how this has been divided by the acharyas. Within this verse, Rupa Goswami talks about two things. One is the primary characteristics of devotional service, which is called as Mukhya Lakshan. And then he also talks about the secondary qualities, secondary characteristics of devotional service, that is called as Gauna Lakshan. In the primary characteristics of devotional service, three things are involved. One is devotional service is for Krishna. That is the first primary character of devotional service. Therefore, we discussed last week, Rupa Goswami calls it as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, does not say Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because Bhakti means only to Krishna, not to any other demigod or any human being. So that is the first character of pure devotional service, that Bhakti is only meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second, devotional service is an active engagement. That is anushilanam. Anushilanam, it is usually used for samvardhanam. Just like those who are cultivating the land, the farmers, they till the land, they sow the seed, and they take care of their crops, they take out all the weeds. So similarly, bhakti involves active engagement in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also primary character of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, in defining devotion, he doesn't say ecstasy. The Mayavadis define devotional service as ecstasy, just good feeling. But devotional service involves active engagement. And third, devotional service is executed with favorable intent. A devotional service can also be practiced with unfavorable intent. We will discuss elaborately after we go to the next slides. Next. Sorry, the first. So when Rupa Goswami talks about devotional service is only for Krishna, it's very interesting. And Prabhupada defines Krishna doesn't mean he's alone. One time, one devotee brought a painting of only Krishna to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this is Mayavad. It is Krishna's painting, but because Krishna was not with the cowherd boys, he was not with the cows, neither he was with the gopis, nor with his parents, so Prabhupada said this is Mayavad. He said we don't see Krishna alone. Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees. That is devotional service. So Prabhupada explains in the commentary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that when we say Krishna, Krishna includes all the expansions, all the incarnations. Not only all the incarnations and expansion, Krishna also includes his pure devotees. When you separate Krishna from the pure devotees, when you separate Krishna from the incarnations, when you separate Krishna from his expansions, then it is non-Krishna. It is non-Krishna. Just like there is one institution, they are very fanatical about worshipping Krishna. then they consider Krishna to be the supreme personality of Godhead. When you meet them, you will feel that at least there is somebody who follows our path. But then if you hear, what about Lord Ramachandra? They in fact offend Lord Ramachandra. They separate Lord Ramachandra from Lord Krishna. They separate all incarnations of Krishna from the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And ultimately, they end up saying that there is beyond Krishna, which is unmanifested. In this way, the whole philosophy falls apart into nothingness, which is a deviant philosophy. So therefore, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear, Krishna means all incarnations, pure devotees of the Lord, everybody is included. Just like when you see a mountain, one can say, I know Himalayan mountain. And I only know Himalayan mountain, but I do not know any other mountain. That means actually does not know the mountain. Just like if somebody says, I know Manmohan Singh. I am very close to Manmohan Singh. But if you ask him, what about his family? Do you know about his family members? If he says, I don't care, I don't know about them, that means he does not know. Because if you know Manmohan Singh, you will also know what Manmohan Singh likes. How much he likes his wife or he dislikes his wife. How much he likes his children or he dislikes his children. What does he eat? What is his hobby? Everything is known when you know that personality. Similarly, when somebody says, I like Krishna, I know Krishna means you should also know what Krishna likes. So therefore, Krishna includes everything. Krishna includes his devotees. Krishna includes his incarnation. One cannot separate Krishna from anybody. Especially his devotees and his incarnation. Therefore, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they cannot minimize the value of different incarnations of the Lord. We are interested in Krishna and anything which is connected to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was preaching to Venkata Bhat, he said, who is higher? Krishna is higher or Lord Narayan is higher? And Venkata Bhat was arguing, not arguing, he was trying to present his point of view. And Lord Chaitanya defeated him. He said, no, Lord Krishna is the supreme. And then Mahaprabhu said, actually, it doesn't make any difference. Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna are one and the same. Only in regards to ras, in mellow, there is a difference. Otherwise, every candle exhibits the same power. In exhibition of power, no incarnation exhibit less power than other incarnation. Only in the rasa tattva, there is a difference. So this proper understanding has to be there. Excluding Krishna from his incarnation and devotee is not a pure devotional service. That is the first understanding of bhakti. And then Rupa Goswami talks about service. Krishna consciousness is an active engagement. What is that? Anushilanam. Prabhupada says, when you say anushilanam, one should know there is activation. There is active engagement. All our senses are engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot avoid that. Anushilanam has two kinds. One is pravritti and one is nivritti. One is positive engagement and one is negative engagement. Even the thought process, when we say, I only think, thinking is also an activity of the mind. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says, thinking, feeling and willing, it is the mental culture. So even that is an action. Action cannot be avoided in any stage. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is seeing this. He says all of our senses, mind, intelligence, our ego, all our senses, all the sense objects has to be utilized in the service of the Lord negatively and positively. With body, mind and words, And the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. What is it? It is not positive engagement. It is the negative aspect of devotional service. To think that just because I follow these four regulative principles, therefore I am a devotee, is not true. Just because I don't drink tea or coffee, I don't eat onion or garlic, just because I am a vegetarian, doesn't mean that I am a devotee. Prabhupada explains, that is the platform where you become a human being. Negativity is not necessarily attainment of positivity. Just like somebody is driving on the road and is very alert and expert in following all the rules and regulation of the traffic. Whenever there is red light, he stops. Whenever there is green light, he moves forward. Whenever there is yellow light, he becomes alert. And he takes his lane, he is always putting a belt, he does not use his mobile when he is driving. Very expert, following all the rules and regulation. But if you go and ask him, where are you going? He said, I am only interested in following the rules and regulation. I have no destination. That means the negativity is following very expertly, but he does not know what is his destination, where is he leading towards, where is he heading to. So negativity is not simply automatically gives us the positive. So therefore Rupa Goswami says, negative and positive go hand in hand. So four regulative principles, they simply make us a refined human being. We see many people, those who are not practicing devotional service also, they follow many rules and regulation. In fact, for better material life, one can follow this four regulative principle, but they may not be devotees of the Lord. They can be demons. Therefore, some people, they say, Hitler, he never drank. He never engaged in gambling. He never took any intoxications. But still, he was a biggest rogue. He was a torturous person. He tortures lakhs of people, crores of people. So therefore, simply following the negative aspect will not lead us to pure devotional service. So nivritti has to be there. But along with the nivritti, there has to be the positive aspect. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, anartha nivritti, then there is artha prapti. Artha prapti means our desired goal. Anartha nivritti means whatever unwanted things are there, they should be given up. Otherwise, only anartha nivritti will lead us to become mayavadis. That we dislike things of this world. Just like during the reigns of Krishna Devara in south, he had one jester named Tenali Ramakrishna. One time, the king said, okay, I want to offer everybody one cat. And take this cat and make it stout and strong. Everybody was given one cow. They were given nice land so that cow can eat nice grass and can give nice milk and can be fed to the cat. So everybody received the cat. They went to their home. They were feeding the milk. But Tenali Ramakrishna, what he did was, he would take milk for himself. He would not feed the cat. Rather, for a few days, he would bring very hot milk to the cat and force the mouth of the cat into the milk container. You can imagine what will happen. The cat was burnt. He did for a few days, and the cat realized that, I cannot enjoy this milk. It is too hot. Whenever Tenali Ramakrishna would keep even the normal milk, it would run away. Therefore that saying is there in Hindi. Doodh se jalao chhas ko bhi phook ke piyega. So similarly, this was the condition of Tenali Ramakrishna's cat. So when the time was over, when everybody brought their cat, everybody's cat was very strong and stout, except Tenali Ramakrishna's cat. It had become very lean and thin. And that time, all the ministers thought, at least at this stage, at least at this instance, we have defeated Tenali Ramakrishna. So he asked, the king asked, why your cat is lean and thin? He said, my dear king, you gave me the cat which does not drink the milk. He said, what is this? Cat not drinking milk? You must be mad. He said, you try. So when the milk offered the milk, king offered the milk to the cat, immediately cat ran away from there. So similarly, Mayavadis are like that. What do? When they see sense object, they run away from there because they are burnt very badly. They do not know the art of handling the object of the senses. Therefore, they deny everything. No, this is not good. This is not good. And Prabhupada gives the example of a diseased person. A diseased person, he needs to follow certain diet restriction. If you go to the hospital, there are many patients lying. If a person is chronically ill, he does not know what enjoyment involves in eating nice food. Because anytime he eats nice food, there is a stomach problem. So therefore he says, eating is bad. So better not eat anything. But he does not know the other side, that eating also is an enjoyment. So that is the negative aspect of spirituality, which is important. Four regulative principles are important. Through mind, through body, and through our words. If you read the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about the negative aspect of the austerity of the mind, austerity of the body, and austerity of the speech. That one should not speak harshly, one should not think wrongly, one should not torment the body. He is speaking about negative aspect also in the 17th chapter. And then the positive aspect, which Rupa Goswami talks about, anushilanam, there is a mental culture. And Prabhupada says, one should always meditate, shravanam kirtanam smaranam. Smaranam is the faculty of the mind. And what do you remember? You should always remember the pastimes of the Lord. Always try to culture your mind by remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Just like we have milk. And when you add little culture of curd into the milk, within no time, the whole container of milk transforms into curd. That is called as culture. So similarly, the mind has the facility to be absorbed in something. It can be completely absorbed. It has the facility. So Rupa Goswami is suggesting, learn the art of culturing the mind with Krishna consciousness. When you culture the mind with Krishna consciousness through the medium of remembering the pastimes of the Lord, within no time you can be absorbed in thinking the pastimes of the Lord. And thinking of the pastime doesn't mean that only remembering the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan. Prabhupada specially writes that one should also remember the pastimes of Lord Krishna on the battle of Kurukshetra. One time in Los Angeles, devotees started this Gopi Bhav Club. Gopi Bhav Club means every day without fail, some scholarly devotees would come together and only remember about the pastimes of the gopis. And Prabhupada came to know about this. He flew to Los Angeles and he chastised them. He said, this is nonsense. Then they said, Prabhupada, you have written this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in your Krishna book, in the Bhagavatam, it is there that one should always concentrate on the pastimes of the gopis. Prabhupada said, there is no difference between Radharani and tree. He said, the tree from Golok and Srimati Radharani, there is no difference. And they were arguing, Prabhupada, no, you are saying that Radharani, Gopi Bhav is the highest. Prabhupada said, no, everything is same. He said, on your level, everything is same. On the level of the advanced devotees, they can make discrimination, but on your level, everything is same. So therefore, remembering the pastimes of Krishna fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is as important as remembering the pastimes of Krishna performing activities with the gopis. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, the Mayavadis, what do? They separate paraphernalia of Krishna and they say that we are only interested with Krishna but not Krishna's paraphernalia. He said, Krishna is of the interest, but the battlefield is not of the interest. Prabhupada says, no. Even the devotees are not interested in the battlefield, but because Krishna is there in the battlefield, therefore we also accept the battlefield. Just like when you say that, oh sentry, a police cop, you come and take food. When you say the police cop, naturally police will come along with his uniform. He will come with his gun. But we know that the eating business will not be done by the weapons. The eating will only done by the police. But at the same time, the paraphernalia of the police will also follow him. When I say I want water, it is natural that water cannot come without the glass. But you don't drink the glass, you drink the water. So similarly, devotees are not interested on the battlefield, but because Krishna is in the battlefield, even the battlefield also is taken seriously by the devotees. And the Mayavadis go beyond that. Eventually they say, just like in north of Maharashtra, there was a seminar organized by one Gita club. And they invited Srila Prabhupada also. When Prabhupada came there, he saw huge lamp and they had written Gita Sammelan. Prabhupada said, where is Krishna? They said, Krishna? I said, Krishna is not of interest. His philosophy is of interest. We are only interested in Bhagavad Gita but not in Krishna. Prabhupada said, that is nonsense. He said, you want the energy of the Lord but not the energetic. He said, how it can work? You want the energy of the Lord but not energetic, that is demoniac. He said, we don't separate energy from the energetic. That is the mentality of Duryodhan. When Krishna said, whom do you want me or my army? Duryodhan said, why do I need Krishna's army? Why do I need Krishna? I want the army. So Duryodhan was trying to separate the energy of Krishna from Krishna himself. That is demoniac. So Mayavadis, what do? They first say only Krishna is interested, not the battlefield. And when they read the Shastra, they said, no, Krishna is not interest, only Bhagavad Gita is interest. So Prabhupada directly chastised them. He said, you are taking Krishna's book, and Krishna is speaking, what is the object of that book, is to surrender unto me. And how do you follow Krishna's words without having Krishna? Whom will you surrender? So therefore, it is bogus. So, Anushilam includes active engagement on the mind level, which is called as mental culture. And then Prabhupada talks about speech. What do you do with your speech? People follow Maunavrat. And there are so many, one time we went to one place, and there was a big board that our guru is practicing Maunavrat. And he was practicing Maunavrat, but he was writing so many things. The whole garbage can was filled with many chits. Because he's writing, he's breaking all of his Maunavrat by writing so many things on the chit. So this kind of Maunavrat is useless. Therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends, because you have the faculty to speak, you cannot avoid it. You have to utilize the facility to speak. So Prabhupada says, you can use the faculty of speech by preaching Krishna consciousness, by giving the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And one who does not preach Krishna consciousness, what will happen? He will speak something else. Those who practice devotional service, but those who do not speak this knowledge to others, either they have to hear some nonsense and they have to repeat some nonsense. So better you speak the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So that is the positive engagement. Keep speaking about the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And sometime it may happen that nobody may listen. One time in Paris, all the devotees are doing Harinam. Indradyumna Maharaj was leading, and then he came back to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you know, one lady, she was so stubborn. She was holding her ears with her small finger. She put her fingers inside the ear and she was not listening to the Harinam. We tried so hard, but she was so adamant. Prabhupada said, you should have pulled her hands out of her ears and made her hear the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And in one place Prabhupada writes, when your neighbor complained that your Harinam is disturbing, that is the success of our preaching. If they are disturbed by the Harinam, at least that means they are hearing. But if nobody is disturbed, that means you are not preaching. So Prabhupada gave so much of emphasis on preaching Krishna consciousness. One time, again, one devotee came and told, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada preaching, it was so difficult today. He said, when did I tell you that preaching is easy? I never said that preaching is easy. Preaching is always difficult one. Those who want to know more about this, you know, Indradyumna Maharaja writes his diary. And just about 15 days back, he had one very unique experience. At one place in Poland, there was a huge gang, the fanatical people. And they were very much arranging to attack the devotees. You know, they had hired big gundas, and the devotees had to hire the security people. And during the lecture, Indradyumna Maharaj writes in his diary, he said, which preacher in the world has ever sat giving a Bhagavatam class? He had a shoes in his feet, running shoes, and within the shawl people usually have their bead bag. Inside his shawl, there was a handle of an axe. Because there was, you know, he was expecting danger. And within his shawl, there was tear gas. He said, I'm giving Krishna Katha, but everything is inside my shawl is trying to save the devotees. But because we are using it for Krishna's service, so that we can preach and protect devotees, it had to be done. Taking such a great risk to preach Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says, using the faculty of speech, that is another way to positively engage in devotional service. And the bodily activities, very important point Prabhupada mentions, that our whole activities are under the purview of external energy, that is Bahiranga Shakti. Because it is under the Bahiranga Shakti, it has a connection with the dead matter. And dead matter does not give rise to consciousness. And what to speak of Krishna consciousness? A dead matter cannot give rise to Krishna consciousness. So therefore there is a need to spiritualize all of our material activities. To bring external energy into internal energy. And who will do that? Making of external energy into internal energy is the activity of the spiritual master. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashrita. When we take shelter of such a pure devotee of the Lord, under his guidance, when we start performing our activities, then all our material activities become spiritual. Therefore Prabhupada writes, initiation is very important. Unless one is initiated under the guidance or under the direction of a pure devotee of the Lord, then our activities remain on the material platform. It will not be accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot worship the Lord directly. It has to be going through the parampara system. So only when we spiritualize our material activities, then Prabhupada writes, even a rogue can become a devotee. Why? Because he has spiritualized everything. So body, mind and our speech, when it is used in the service of the Lord, actively, active engagement, then all the knowledge of the scriptures are automatically revealed. One time one person came to Prabhupada and he wanted to know everything immediately. Prabhupada said, one thing one time. If you try to know more than what is your exact qualification, there will be an indigestion. You understand this? And engage in the service of the Lord. You understand? Next point, engage in the service of the Lord. What will happen? That you are tilling your heart. it is becoming fertile to understand the next point. Otherwise, simply if you fall in the business of learning the scripture, that learning of the scripture will cause indigestion. One great politician, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he wanted to know the definition about some spiritual aspect. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, go in the kitchen, my disciple is there and he will teach you everything. So when he went inside, the disciple gave him big pots. He said, you clean this first. And he was a very big politician. He said, you clean this plot. Along with cleaning the pot, I can answer your questions. And when he came out, he told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all my questions are answered. And that was a typical style in ISKCON, at least in the beginning days. Gopal Krishna Maharaj explains that when he was working in Canada, in Montreal. So when he visited first time to the temple, and he was a double MBA working for one of the biggest multinational company. So when the devotee saw him, he was asking some question. He said, go inside the kitchen. So they made him wash all the pots. They took him inside, they made him wash all the pots. He said, by doing that, I became very receptive to hear Krishna consciousness knowledge. Some devotees come here, big industrialist. When they visited first time Juhu temple, that was during the Janmashtami festival. They could not go in the night, but they went early morning. So when they went in the early morning, it was all covered with flowers, prasadam, cups and leaf plates. And hardly any devotees were there to clean. So one devotee called them. Big industrialist, having, 1,000 crore business. So they said, can you help us to clean this place? And they made them clean at least for 2 hours. Active devotional service. So when somebody engages in active devotional service, then our heart becomes receptive to hear the knowledge. And then slowly, understanding becomes very clear. So Prabhupada makes it very clear, mind, body and our speech has to be positively engaged in the service of the Lord. Artha Prapti and Anartha Nivritti, these two aspects. Next. And the next principle, Rupa Goswami speaks about Anukullena. A devotional service can be pleasing to the Lord, but may not be with a favorable intent. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan and Kamsa also, they are giving facilities to Krishna to protect his devotees. All these demons, they are giving facilities to Krishna to protect his devotees. And Krishna loves to protect his devotees. So therefore, is it not that they are also doing devotional service? They are pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rupa Goswami says no. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says no. Even though it may be pleasing to the Lord, but it has no favorable intent. Therefore, it does not fall into the category of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you say, okay, if it is pleasing to Krishna, then what about the activities of Yashoda? Yashoda is serving the Lord, but her service to Krishna, at one point of time, when Krishna wanted to drink her breast milk, and Yashoda just dropped her child and went inside the kitchen to take care of her milk. And Krishna became very angry. And he broke the pot. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what is it? That she is serving Krishna, but it is not pleasing Krishna. Is it that so? Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no. Even in displeasing Krishna, she is pleasing Krishna. Because the whole purview of her service is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By displeasing Krishna, she pleased Krishna. Even that displeasing was very relishable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, in the activities of Yashoda, there is not even one drop of displeasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in this concept of pleasing Krishna with a favorable intent, it is not very much inclusive. Very much inclusive means that We are only concerned with pleasing Krishna. Like the demons Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, their activities allowed Krishna to take. You know, he took a pleasure in protecting his devotees, like Indra also. You can't say Indra's activities of destroying Braj by sending Samvartaka cloud as a pure devotional service. Yes, as an independent Lord, Krishna was happy that all the Brajvasis were brought together. But that doesn't mean Indra's activity was pleasing. But at the same time, Yashoda's activities of displeasing Krishna cannot be excluded as non-devotional service. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is not very exclusive and it is not very inclusive. It is not very inclusive and not very exclusive. It is very balanced. So therefore, defined as with favorable intent and pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If these two aspects are not there, then it is not part of the pure devotional service. Paundrak Vasudev. By reading the letter of Paundrak Vasudev, Krishna had a big laugh. And when he went onto the battlefield to face Paundrak Vasudev, seeing his form, even as an actor he had not decorated properly. So Krishna is laughing very loudly. In fact, it is explained that Paundrak, just to resemble like Lord Krishna, Srivats, everything else he could decorate. He could color himself with a blue ink. He had an artificial hands. He got his false crown. But what about Srivats? So he burnt his chest. So he was looking very ridiculous. So he gave a lot of pleasure to Krishna, but still, because it had no favorable intent, that is not considered as pure devotional service. So it has to be favorable and pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the primary characteristics of devotional service. Then Rupa Goswami talks about Tatrastha Lakshan. The secondary characteristics of devotional service, it distinguishes between ordinary devotional service and pure devotional service. What is the difference? In ordinary devotional service, one wants to please Krishna. But in pure devotional service, not only that he wants to please Krishna, his service is freed from the aspect of jnana and karma. Therefore, what is the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga? Sometime to increase the definition of pure devotional service, to increase the spectrum of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada, many times in his Bhagavad Gita, Bhurijan Prabhu explains this. Even sometime Prabhupada defines karma yoga as bhakti yoga. It does not make many times this discrimination. Yat karoshi yat dashnashi yat juvoshi dadashiyat. It is not Shuddha Bhakti, it is Karma Yoga. That means you want to do something and offer the results to Krishna. You like something, but at the same time whatever the results are there, you exclusively offer it to Krishna. That is ordinary devotional service. And pure devotional service means what? It is uncovered with jnana and karma. So one devotee defined, karma yoga means you want to do something, the results are offered to Krishna. And Shuddha Bhakti means what? You offer yourself to Krishna. That is the difference. Once again, karma yoga means you want to do something and offer the results to Krishna. And pure devotional service means you offer yourself to Krishna. And whatever Krishna says, you will do it. But for most people, at least in the beginning, it is not possible. For therefore, a pure devotee of the Lord, according to our propensity, what does he do? He engages our propensities in the service of the Lord. And because it is the order of the spiritual master, even that doubtling of our propensities, that instruction makes that karma yoga into devotional service. The spiritual master says, okay, you do this, this is good for you. Even though that is our propensity, but because it is coming as the instructions of the devotee, just see, that instruction makes that karma yoga into pure devotional service. Otherwise, on our own when we perform that service, without under the instruction, what will happen? It will simply remain on the platform of Karma Yoga. So therefore, Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service, separates ordinary devotional service, and there are two principles which Rupa Goswami talks in his definition of devotional service. That is Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. When Rupa Goswami says Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, there has to be some Abhilasha. He does not say Sarva Abhilasha Shunyam. Again, very precise. Anya means what? There is some desire. Not Sarva Abhilashita Shunyam. Anya Abhilasha means what? You have some desire. What is that? The desire to serve Krishna. That is also a desire. That cannot be avoided. One time, one Buddhist monk, he was practicing meditation for many, many years. It's a true story. In the oriental countries, he avoided all the sense objects. He was culturing himself to free himself from all the desires. And for 25 years he was able to do it, because the sense objects were not there, he could avoid. And one day, some visitors came to that part of the forest and they were also listening to some film music. And that music happened to be a film song, a love song which is in separation. And that happened to be a very favorite song of this monk when he was in his non-spiritual life. When he heard that song, immediately there were tears in his eyes. Immediately the tears started coming from his eyes. The point is, he was trying to exhaust all of his desires. When you try to exhaust all of your desires, it is not possible. You cannot make desirelessness. It is not possible. There has to be something to be filled with. Then all of our conditioning can be destroyed. So Rupa Goswami says, desire only for devotional service, and then all other desires should be rejected. And then the word Anya Abhilashita, it could be only Anya Abhilasha. But why there is Anya Abhilashita? That word is there, the last word, the suffix, ita. And again, very beautifully, our acharyas explain that sometime when we are practicing pure devotional service, it may happen that there are sudden dangerous situations in our life. Just like when we are walking, like recently we went to Badrinath, and there is always a danger that your vehicle may go up the cliff into Mandakini River. Even sometimes the bus goes like this, there is a palpitation. Always there is a palpitation, only it increases when it happens like that. So naturally, at that time, devotee, you know, he calls out, Krishna. Any dangerous situation is there, a devotee may suddenly call out Krishna. So one might object, just see, you are not serving Krishna. That is not pure devotional service. You are trying to protect your body. So where does that fall into? Does it fall into the category of pure devotional service? Or is it falls into the category of aspiring or praying for Krishna for material? Our acharya says no. It is quite natural for a devotee to become suddenly call out for Krishna in this condition. So that doesn't fall into the category of material thing. That is part of pure devotional service. Therefore, Anya Abhilasha added Shita, that in this kind of condition, if you call out for Krishna, you should not feel that I am being material. I am calling for Krishna for material purpose. That is allowed. You are given that sanction to call out Krishna for in that condition. He says it is quite natural. It is very much possible. It should happen like that. Otherwise, if it doesn't happen, we may call out our mother and father. Just like our, you know, Vaishnava Seva Prabhu was speaking, during the riots, many Hindus were about to be, you know, dying on the hospital. And most of the time, you know, they would not call God, they would call I, Baba, you know, they'd call their daughters and children and know God's name. So if you are remembering Krishna, that is very wonderful. So Rupa Goswami gives that sanction. It is not outside the purview of pure devotional service. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Again, as I said, it distinguishes from the concept of pure devotional service to ordinary devotional service. Jnana means that there is lot of desire to know how this works, how that works. It is called as philosophical speculation. Yes, for some people, at least in the beginning, it may be recommended just to increase one's faith in the process of jnana. Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, one who knows that goal is Krishna but still is interested in his jnana, then is following the jnana yoga system. One who knows the goal is Krishna but is interested in karma, then that is called as karma yoga. But pure bhakti is beyond jnana and karma. Fruitive intentions and aspiring to attain so much of knowledge. In fact, the acharyas explain even the devotional knowledge, if you want to know it beyond your faculty of service, even the knowledge of devotion falls into the category of knowledge. So therefore, during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, he would ask his disciples to serve more on the fields and make them read certain books. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very few books. He said, this many books you read, that is sufficient to advance in spiritual life. So, avoidance of jnana and karma, we discussed last week. That even while practicing Krishna consciousness, it may happen that we may aspire to go to the heavenly planets. Let me have a glimpse of the heavenly planets. I want to go to the Gandharva Lok at least one time, you know, like one devotee was saying. Because he's a good singer, he said, let me go to the Gandharva Lok, because there are many singers. But he fails to understand that there are devotees in the spiritual world, they know better musical science, like Tunga Vidya Gopi. What Mother Saraswati knows, she knows much more than all the knowledges which are available in all other planets. Therefore, she is called as Tunga, Uttunga, on the highest summit of the knowledge. Tunga Vidya. She knows all the knowledge. Under her guidance, if you want to learn music, you can learn there. But don't aspire to go to the Gandharva Loka or Apsara Loka. So, beyond jnana karma, uncovered by that. And Rupa Goswami also uses the word adi. Jnana karma adi. What is this adi? It is explained very nicely by some Srila Prabhupada disciples. Adi involves Vastu Shastra. Adi involves astrology. When one goes too much to the astrologer, then the art of depending on Krishna will certainly minimized. You will put more faith on the astrology and Vastu. You will keep rotating your house from west to east, east to south. Your doors are moving back and forth. You put more faith on that. You put more faith on the astrologer. And then they forget the art of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of that? Rupa Goswami says, even renunciation, even Varanashram, they all fall in the category of Adi. So the pure devotional service should be completely uncovered by all of these aspects. So that it remains completely pure. That is what the definition of this verse. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmad anavritam anukullena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttamam. And just to make it more solid, Rupa Goswami quotes two verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. one verse from Narada Pancharatra. This is from the Narada Pancharatra. The verse Rupa Goswami quotes. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. What is pure devotional service? That giving up all of our upadis, being a jnana yogi, being a karma yogi, all give it up and engage in the service of the Lord. And then he quotes from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunam udharataha avyavahita ahitukim yo bhakti purushottame. Kapil Muni speaking to Mother Devahuti, he says, what is lakshana bhakti yoga? What is the characteristics of bhakti yoga? It is freed from all kinds of modes. Rajogun, tamogun and sattvagun. Beyond sattvagun. And then what is it? It is only to Purushottama. And Prabhupada writes, Purushottama means not to any other demigods. And Ahituki means there is no reason. You don't practice devotional service because it is a duty. You don't practice devotional service because you are fearful of something. You don't practice devotional service because you are expecting some results. He said there is no reason. No reason means simply out of love. Just because you want to do it, therefore we do it. You cannot give any reason why you love, and you cannot give reason to love. If you tell you love him because these reasons, no, you cannot. So therefore, Kapil Muni is explaining, there is no reason why you should love Krishna. You should love Krishna. And how will you love Krishna? It has to come within our heart. That natural spontaneous attraction has to be developed. And that is the whole process of devotional service. And then next one, Rupa Goswami quotes about Kapil Muni speaking that when a devotee of the Lord is offered five kinds of mukti, Salokya, Samipya, Srashti, Sarupya, and Sayujya. He says, even if it is offered to a devotee, he does not accept it. Bina matsevanam janaha, that he will not accept any of these facilities. Why? Because he is not interested. He is only interested in pure devotional service. So one can object, Rupa Goswami is defining pure devotional service, but why does he define the devotees? It is not the character of devotional service, but is defining a devotee. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when you read the character of a devotee, then you understand what is the pure devotional service. It is all connected. Even though it is defining the mentality of a devotee, that is non-different from the exact definition of pure devotional service. So this is the exact definition of pure devotional service, which is beyond the three modes of material nature, without any reason, and Prabhupada defines avyavahita, unceasing, it does not stop, and secondly, one interest. Interest of Krishna and interest of a devotee is one and the same, there is no difference. Interest of Krishna is to serve the devotee, and interest of a devotee is to serve Krishna. In that way, they become one in interest. There is no difference. It is not that Krishna says, okay, one more to serve me. That one more member to serve me. It is not like that. One more member for me to serve him. Because a devotee will attract Krishna, and because of that attraction, the Supreme Personality of God, it will also serve us. So therefore, one in interest. There is no difference between Krishna's interest and in the interest of a devotee. This is the precise definition given by Rupa Goswami in regards to pure devotional service. And then Rupa Goswami starts speaking about what happens when you start practicing devotional service. For every process there has to be a result. And because bhakti is the science, and especially bhakti rasamrita sindhu is the science of devotion, there is a theory, jnan, and by practicing immediately there is vigyan, there is a result. So therefore Rupa Goswami speaks the next step of practicing devotional service.
food, all foods.
So the six characteristics of devotional service. One is kleshagni shubhada, moksha laguta krit, sudurlaba, sandrananda visheshatma, sri krishna karshanichasa. Kleshagni means all the inauspiciousness, all the distress in the heart are vanquished immediately. And as the distressed are vanquished, one experiences auspiciousness. And because one experiences auspiciousness, all the facilities of the religiosity, all the facilities of the spiritual world is rejected. Moksha laguta krit. Moksha become very insignificant. And then sandran and sudurlaba. You start understanding how rare devotional service is. And then sandrananda visheshatma. We'll define this in our future classes. And ultimately, which attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Rupa Goswami explains the first two characters, kleshagni and shubhada, is the process of sadhana bhakti. Simply by doing sadhana bhakti, one can attain these two platforms. And moksha laguta krit and sudurlaba is the platform of bhava bhakti. And sandrananda visheshatma and attracting Krishna is attained on the platform of prema bhakti. So in the next class, this is a very important part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, especially when we are discussing about kleshagni. When do we experience mitigation of all miseries? Rupa Goswami talks about that. He talks about three kinds of reaction to our klesha. There is papa, sinful activities. There is material desire, which is called as bija. And sinful activities are created because of ignorance. And Rupa Goswami speaks about prarabdha karma, the manifested reactions. He talks about aprarabdha karma, unmanifested reaction. He talks about kuta, just before it turns into a seed form, bija. And then he talks about bija. Very complex one, but at the same time very enlightening and very sublime one. So this we will discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai.